Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my first week teaching on the Word Became Flesh. This is actually a teaching album that I have. Here's a CD album, and then we also have a DVD set that was made from a live Gospel Truth seminar, and then we have a television set that was just these programs put into a DVD format. But I actually taught on this 5 different sessions, and yet I'm only going to spend 2 weeks covering this, and so I'm giving a condensed version. One of the reasons for doing that is that this is over the Christmas time, and this is going to kind of piggyback with a lot of things that you're hearing during this period of time about Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And even though, you know, there's good things that happen at Christmas time, it seems like it just deals with such a surface level, and most people don't think about what it really means. I'm trying to add some depth and some meaning to it, and I think it'll really bless you. I've been covering things this week that are just, you know, I hate to use the word deep because I've heard that used in a negative way, like that, you know, the average person just can't understand this. This isn't hard. It's not really difficult. It's just so different. Very few people think this way, and because of that, it seems like that they have no frame of reference for this. There is nothing that they can reach out. There's no example of this. One of the things I've been trying to emphasize is that God set up rules, laws, spiritual laws that govern not only this physical world, but they govern the universe. The universe is orderly. You know, most people kind of have the impression that God is just, you never know what God's going to do. God can do anything. God does this and that. And yet you look at this universe that He created, and everything is so perfect. I mean, it's just perfect. They can shoot a spacecraft out into space, and they know exactly where this planet or this, you know, moon or whatever it is that they're shooting at is going to be a year, 2 years in advance. They can go back 5,000 years. They can go forward 5,000 years and tell you what's going to happen, because everything is just like clockwork. Everything is so systematic. It's so orderly. And yet people think that the God who created such order is Himself chaotic. You never know what God's going to do. That is a complete misunderstanding of God. God can be predicted. I can tell you exactly what God will do because He has bound Himself by His Word. He will not violate His Word. When God says things like James 4:7, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Most of us don't put as much emphasis on words as God does. But once you begin to get this revelation and understanding, you can tell by looking at that verse, James 4:7, that if you don't resist the devil, God's not going to do it for you. It doesn't matter how much He loves you, and it doesn't matter how severe or desperate your situation is. God is not going to intervene and break His Word. Because one of the points that I've tried to make this week is out of Hebrews 1:3, that God upholds all things by the Word of His power. Words were the creative force. Words hold everything together. And if God was to ever violate His Word, if He ever lied, then the whole universe would self-destruct. So take that truth. That's what we've been talking about all week. Apply that now to creation. He gave Adam and Eve dominion, absolute control over this earth. And when He did that, that limited what God can do in this earth. Now, He could wipe us all out as punishment, but as far as to come in and intervene or interfere with the management of this world, God, because of His own holiness and justice and integrity, will not take back His Word, and He will not do for us what He told us to do. He gave us dominion. God is not going to take dominion and interfere. Now that begins to explain these two questions that I've posed. Why did it take 4,000 years for God to bring Jesus to the earth? And why did Jesus even have to come to the earth? The reason it took 4,000 years is because He created the first man by just speaking him into existence. There was no resistance. But the second Adam He now had a demonic power that was resisting everything, and he no longer had direct control of the earth. He had given that to men, and God could only control the affairs of men on the earth to the degree that people would cooperate with him. And so God couldn't just speak the physical body of Jesus into existence. What he had to do was speak to people in their hearts and then have them speak these words anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. He spoke the first Adam into existence. He had to speak the second Adam into existence, and he wasn't free to just speak. When he created Adam in the first place, it didn't take anything because he had no opposition and he was in absolute control. When he created the second Adam, it took 4,000 years to find enough people that would speak forth the things that needed to be done. Because of our corrupted human nature, none of us were listening to God enough to say everything that needed to be said. For instance, yesterday on our program, I was beginning to read out of Isaiah chapter 7. And Isaiah, of course, was a prophet. He was inspired by God. And here's some of the prophecy that he gave about Jesus coming. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you have abhorred shall be forsaken of both her kings." And he goes on and talks about that the government will be on his shoulder, that he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, and all of these things. But just think about this. If you were Isaiah, if you were giving a prophecy, if you were going to write this down, it was going to become scripture, and thousands of years people were going to read it. If God spoke to you and says, a virgin is going to have a child, how many of you would have said that? You know, it's one thing for you to say, oh, yeah, I'd say it. But you know what? I've given prophecies. I've spoken things to people. There's been times that God has told me things that, honestly, I've swallowed a little hard to think, God, is this really you? Because I'm going to be in big trouble. My name's going to be mud if this isn't you. And it's been nothing like saying that a virgin is going to have a child. This never happened before. It's never happened since. It's never going to happen again. A virgin having a child. And yet, you know, there was a seed planted for this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God told the woman that your seed, not the man's seed, but the woman's seed, would crush the head of Satan. I believe that God inspired Isaiah to say this, but how many times had he spoken to other people? I don't know for sure that he had, but it's very possible that he had tried to speak this to people before this time, and maybe there were other people that just thought, surely this can't be God, and they didn't speak it. And remember the verses that we started with over in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's talking about Jesus. And then John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. God had to speak that this was a virgin birth. He had to speak that it was going to be in Bethlehem to fulfill other prophecies and things that were given. He had to speak that he would be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. He had to speak that he would be forsaken and mocked of his brethren, that he would be crucified, that they would spit in his face, that they'd give him gall to drink. All of these things that were going to come to pass had to be spoken by God. That's the way that he created the worlds. That's the way that he created people. For his son to come into this earth, it wasn't going to be a human birth, the union of a man and a woman. It was going to be a divine thing. The seed came from God. Look at this verse over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This here calls the Word of God a seed. In the Greek, this is the word spora, which where, you know, you get a seed like a plant. But the word spora comes from the word sperma in the Greek, which is talking about, of course, sperm. This is the exact same thing, that in the same way that you can't have a plant without planting a seed, a spora, you can't have a person without planting a seed, a sperma, a sperm. There has to be a seed sown. So where did the seed for Jesus came from? It didn't come from a man. It wasn't the physical sperm of a man. It was the sperm of God, the Word of God. And where did this Word come from? This Word came from all of these prophecies that had been made for thousands of years. God had been speaking, but He couldn't find one person that had enough faith or enough receptiveness to speak all of the words. And so it took hundreds of people, over 4,000 years, to speak all of these words that were necessary. And finally, when the fullness of time was come, look at this verse over in Galatians chapter 4. It says in verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Notice it says, "when the fullness of time." That means that if He would have come prior to this, it wouldn't have been full. It would have been incomplete. Not because God wanted people to just suffer for 4,000 years before He brought in the great benefits that come with the new covenant. No, God was willing to do this earlier, but He had to have some things done. And since He was no longer doing it all Himself, He had to speak through people, and it took 4,000 years and dozens or maybe hundreds of people speaking forth all of these words of prophecy. And finally, when the time was full, when all of the words, when everything was said, then God sent an angel and took the Word. And that Word became the sperm, the seed, that entered into Mary. And the virgin birth was completely normal and natural in every detail, except that a man didn't provide the seed. The Word of God was the seed. And now you put this back with John 1:14, the Word became flesh. That is an exact representation of what really happened. The Word became flesh. You know, that is powerful. That's powerful. You know, today, I'm going to make today the last day that I offer you the second tape in this five-part series that I have entitled The Word Became Flesh. Then next week, Christmas week, I'm going to go into greater explanation and detail about the actual virgin birth and link this to the things I've taught this week. And I tell you, if you can get this, this is going to radically change your life. What I want to do right now is to kind of illustrate some of the things that we've been teaching here and give a little update. I just came back from a European tour. We were in Hungary, England, Germany, and Poland. And you know, the things that we saw happen were just an example of exactly what I'm teaching about the power of the Word. Most people don't understand that the Word is living. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Most people see this as just a book, but this is not a book. It's a living book. And when you speak it, miracles happen. And, you know, we were just in Hungary. We've got an office over there now. We went and visited our office. It's in a small house. And I tell you, I was amazed. I forget exactly, but I think there was around 30 or 35,000 of my books stockpiled in this little office that we have in Hungary. We now have my books translated into 35 different languages, and Hungary is the distribution center for Europe right there. It's cheaper. It's more centrally located than our UK office. And so Zalt is the one. I couldn't pronounce his last name. It took me a long time to say Zalt, but he graduated from our Bible school in the UK, and he is now back running that and overseeing a lot of these translations and just doing a great job. And we went to this place, I think it's pronounced Palahama, and it's a monastery that was established in 96 or 95, something like that. And it's been constantly occupied since then. And there was this man, Titus, who was a monk there for 26 years. And he came to our UK Bible school because of a number of things. He had seen me and heard me on television, and he had gotten hold of the Word, and he was liberated from a lot of the doctrine that he had been brought up under. And he was wanting to get more, so he was coming there to get the Word. But also, he had decided that he was going to cease to be a monk. He was going to get out and get married. And when he came to school, God just really touched him. And when he went back to Hungary, the archabbot, who is a person of a lot of influence in Hungary. Matter of fact, I was told that you have to wait a year or things like this to get an appointment with him. And not this latest trip, but the trip before, about 2 years ago, he actually asked me if I would meet with him because he wanted to meet with the guy that Titus, his monk, had been sitting under because of the transformation he had seen. And I tell you, I really had a great time with this abbot. He took all of my books that were translated into Hungarian. I signed them for him, and he read them. And this time when I went back, he had an important meeting to go to, but he waited until I got there just to greet me and then apologize for having to be gone. But, I mean, it was amazing. And when Titus, this Hungarian monk that came to our Bible school, went back to Hungary, this archabbot asked Titus to share what God had been doing in his life with all the rest of the priests. And they called over 2,000 priests together. Titus got up and shared about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being born again. And I don't remember the exact details, but about half of them responded and either received salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This archabbot is so excited. He's had his own relatives healed of incurable diseases. He's so excited that he asked Titus if he would stay in the Catholic Church there, and he gave him this school with about 400 boys in it. It's the most prestigious school in all of Hungary, and Titus has now started three other schools where he's training people, and he is now one of the most influential people in the Catholic Church in Hungary. And so because of that, he decided he'd just stay there and take advantage of these opportunities. And he's now teaching my book on spirit, soul, and body to all of these students. He's got all of my discipleship evangelism class. Man, they are seeing miracles happen. And, you know, while I was there, I got to preach in this chapel. Now, I don't remember the exact time that the chapel was built. Like I said, the monastery was started in 996 or something like that. The chapel might have been built in the 1300s or 1400s, but it was old, and I may be one of the first non-Catholics to minister there. And here I was in this cathedral ministering the Word of God to these students, telling them about that God has a destiny for every one of them. And I started praying with them and prophesying, and gifts of the Spirit were functioning in this place. It was wonderful to see. We also held meetings in Budapest. All day Saturday and Sunday, had six churches come together, which was some form of a miracle right there. We went to England. You know, I'm going through this very quickly, but the reason I want to do this is just to show you that the things that I'm teaching, this isn't just theory. I'm not just talking about the power of the Word. I'm seeing it happen. We're seeing miracles happen. We're seeing things happen that couldn't happen if it wasn't for these truths that I'm talking about and the validity of them. This wouldn't be happening. We went to England and held meetings there with a ministers' conference, and we had ministers come from, I don't know, 10 or 15 of those European countries, and it was powerful. We also had our Bible college students show up on the last night. About 100 of them rented a bus and came up there, and I tell you, we had some powerful, powerful things happen. Some of you may have heard that they had to cut into my television programs in England and withdraw some of the things that I'd said, because in England it's against the law to say that homosexuality is a sin. It's against the law to speak that abortion is murder. Matter of fact, by me even saying this right now, our UK programs will have to be edited because it's against the law. You just cannot say that, even though it's absolutely true. And because I said those things right there, they actually had the government called and made my programs be stopped in the UK. So, but the long and short of this story is that the man who runs that television program is in complete agreement with what I'm saying. He just has to abide by these laws in the UK. So he asked me to come on a program that night and debate a homosexual Roman Catholic priest. Now, to me, that's an oxymoron. I mean, priests aren't supposed to be married to women, much less to men. But nonetheless, this guy claims to be a homosexual Catholic priest, and we debated him, and I got an hour and a half's worth of time instead of my normal 30 minutes on the television. So it worked out. And this man Howard Condor was at our ministers' conference. He got up and shared some things, and it was powerful. And I tell you, we had a lot of the ministers share about some of these politically correct things that are being done in the UK. And it was a wake-up call to everybody about how we better start being the salt of the earth or we're going to lose our opportunity and to speak. And it was powerful services there in the UK. And then we went to Karlsruhe, Germany, held meetings there, had about 1,000 people in attendance, and we saw some great miracles. I prayed with a lot of people, saw hundreds of people baptized in the Holy Spirit, dozens of people born again, and just had a great time in a tremendous facility there. Then we went to Poland, Krakow, Poland, and we went to Auschwitz one day, and the next day we held meetings in Krakow. And there was a woman there that, if any of you have seen my DVD or video about Nikki Oshinsky and the fibromyalgia and the pain and that she couldn't even move, there was a woman that was in a similar condition, not just quite as advanced, but she had terrible pain for 5 years. I asked her to stand, and she couldn't even stand. I guess she could have, but it was taking so much effort, and she was in so much pain, I just finally had her stay seated, and I laid hands on her. I ministered to her briefly through the Word and shared some things with her, and then I laid hands on her, and instantly this woman, for the first time in 5 years, was pain-free. Her husband was just crying, and I mean, we saw lots of miracles. Lots of people's lives changed. And the reason I'm giving you this little update, sometimes, you know, I just put so much emphasis on teaching the Word and telling you how the Word became flesh and telling you how it'll work for you. But I think it's also beneficial to just hear some of what is actually happening and some of these testimonies. And so I'm sharing this just briefly at the end of this program today just to let you know that these things aren't just theory. They're working. We now have my books in 35 languages. We have hundreds of thousands of copies going into mainland China, people's lives being changed. And I tell you, I had people come. We had hundreds and thousands of people come to these meetings all over Europe because they see the television programs. I found out when I was over there, I'm broadcasting in Polish and in Czech and in Romanian and Hungarian, and I'm speaking all of these languages. Of course, it's a dub over, but I didn't even know we were doing those things. And people are coming. They're getting the books. Lives are being changed. And for those of you who are partners with us, I just want to thank you and say that you are enabling us to make a difference all over the world. And for those of you that are watching today, I want to encourage you that the Word that I'm seeing work in my life and through me and seeing people's lives changed, I'm not making these things up. Hopefully, my television crew has documented some of what I've said, shown you pictures of this, shown you that I was there. We have pictures of that woman that was miraculously healed of this pain for 5 years. She was basically invalid. And we have her walking around. Hopefully, they were able to show you these things, to show you that the Word works. And I just want to leave you with this today, that the Word of God is alive and powerful. And just like I've been teaching this week, it'll work for you. You can conceive a miracle, and the Word can become flesh in your life. Listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get these materials, and then join me next Monday for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original 5-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228.
Let me remind you that today will be our last day to offer you this first teaching that we've made available in this series entitled The Word Became Flesh. We're actually offering you the second tape in this five-part series, second CD in the five-part series. Today's our last day to offer that to you as a gift. We will continue to offer the entire album next week, but we offer each individual CD free of charge for those who could not or would not send any money. Also, I've been mentioning all of this week about the authority of the believer, and I have an entire album on that. I have a book on it, and we're going to make that an additional offer today. So please take advantage of these. Listen as our announcer gives you that information, and call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
If we really were just walking in how much God loves us, I believe that there's always should be a reverence, a godly reverence, but this terror and dread and fear shouldn't be there. Mary wasn't a perfect person. Now, she was a godly lady, and I'll talk some more about how her and Joseph, this was a major miracle. They were strong people of faith. They believed God. But she wasn't perfect. Here she was when she found herself in the presence of God, an angel of God. Fear came on her.